by the power of his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have your seat. So we have been going through this message series from the book of Kings. We have actually been reading the book of Kings. How many people have been actually reading this book? Okay, if you have not, please go back there and read this book. It is amazing, the kind of stories that are in this book, you know. And I think today is like week four or so of the series of message, five. And usually when pastor asks me to preach, you know, I like to do my own thing. But I believe that God has given me a word from a series of messages this morning, from this book this morning. And we're just going to jump right into it. Our focus this morning is going to be 1 Kings chapter 19, as you've heard read in the Bible reading. But I just want to give you a bit of background to what happened. You know, verse 19 kind of described Elijah in a very bad place, a very, very dark place. It talks about him being dejected, being discouraged, you know, being, you know, his lost hope and feeling depressed and suicidal. You know, let me read 1 Kings chapter 3 and 4 to you again for emphasis. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 to 4. And I'm going to read the NIV version. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went to a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Can we take a moment to pray? Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to hear you speak to us again this morning. Lord, we open up our hearts to you, O God. We ask, O God, that you reveal yourself to us again in your word today. Lord, I pray for myself. I pray in the name of Jesus that your spirit will guide my thoughts and my words today, that the words that I'm going to speak are going to be life in the name of Jesus. Everyone listening to this message, we pray, oh God, that you speak to every heart in the name of Jesus. And as your word is released, let life be released with it. Let hope be released with it. Let strength be released with it. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let this word, you know, be the word that will lift us up and encourage us in every areas of our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So before we got into the stage where Elijah was depressed and even suicidal. He said, Lord, take my life. He started to have suicidal thoughts at some point. You know, I just want us to backtrack a bit and look at verses chapter 17 and 18. I just want to, we don't have time to read through all of it, but I'm just going to recap what happened, you know. In verse chapter 17, that is when we were introduced to Elijah, you know, this powerful prophet, this powerful man of God just came out of nowhere, you know. Maybe God has been preparing him somewhere, and he just came out boldly to start declaring the word of the Lord. And God began to use him mightily. He went to the king of Israel at that time, Ahab, and he says, there's not going to be rain because you've been a bad king. There's not going to be rain, you know. And the Bible says there was no rain for 3.5 years. Powerful man of God. I want you to be, you know, as I'm you know, talking about all those things that, you know, happened in chapter 17 and 18. I want you to be casting your mind back to what we just read in chapter 19. You know, from there, God told him to go there. How many people were here last week when Pastor preached on the place called there? God told him where to go. By the way, if you missed that message, please go back. All the messages are on our Facebook page, on our YouTube page, on our website as well. So please go back and listen to it. God told him to go to a place called there, you know, and he commanded the ravens to feed him. Because there was no rain, there was famine in the land, people, you know, don't have anything to eat, and God provided supernaturally for him. The ravens are usually scavengers, you know. They are not the kind of birds that will share food with you. But God commanded them to go and feed him morning and evening. And then after that, God commanded the widow of Zarephath to minister to him as well. And an interesting thing happened. I'm just recapping, especially because of those who have not been reading, who have not been following with us. You know, it got to a point when it got to the widow's house. And the widow was going to cook his last meal with her son so that they can die because they don't have anything to eat. And Elijah, God performed a miracle through him. God multiplied that little, you know, piece of meal that that woman had. And they had, the Bible says they had for a long time, throughout the drought. And they sustained Elijah. And to make matters worse, the son of the woman died, the only son died. And in those days, sons, you know, their sons are their security of their old age, especially being a widow as well. No one to look after her. And Elijah, the Bible says that the spirit of that boy left him. The boy actually died. And God, you know, used Elijah to revive that boy. This is this same person we are talking about in 1 Kings chapter 18. And then he went ahead to call all Israel to a revival. He says, if you look at, let me look at that a little bit. In chapter 18, in verse 21, he says, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if he's Baal, follow him.'" You know, he was bold. He was courageous. You know, he knows how wicked Ahab is. But he stood up for what is right. He stood up for righteousness. And he challenged the people. And he says, okay, let all the prophets of Baal and Asherah, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah, he says, come, let's know today. Let's demonstrate today who is the real God. And he said they should prepare the fire on the altar like they would do in those days. And he says, call on your God. I don't want you to put any fire. Take your animal, cut it up the way you want to, and put fire on it. And don't put fire on it, and call your God to put fire. And the Lord that answers by fire will be God. And he did that. The Bible says those prophets of false gods, they called on their God from morning till evening. They cut themselves. They did all sorts of gymnastics. Nothing happened. And Elijah began to make fun of them, ridiculing them. In fact, I think the NLT was saying that he told them that, did your God go to the toilet? I laughed. I laughed when I read that, you know. And Elijah got to the scene and said, okay, move back, everybody, move back. Now let me show you who's the real God. That is how courageous he was. That is how strong and powerful he was. And he got there and he says, okay, he cut up all the animal and put it on the Lord's altar. And he says, okay, I want to make it more dramatic. I want you to go and get pots, 4 pots of water. Go and pour it on it. We all know that when there's water, you know, the wood is all soaked. The fire is not going to light up. And he says, okay, go and do it again the second time. Go and do it again the third time. So 12 big water pots he poured on that altar. And then he called on God. And God consumed that altar with fire. And people began to say, oh, the Lord God is God. You know? And let me read to you how the last verse in chapter 18 ended. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he gathered up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So that's how that chapter ended. He was still powerful. He was strong. He was still agile, physically, spiritually, emotionally. He was going strong. But if you now look at chapter 18, there is a sharp contrast. It's a startling contrast, almost unbelievable. Can this happen? Can this actually happen to Elijah? But I want to tell you this morning that this is a point for us to take a pause, you know, because James chapter 5, verse 17 says, Elijah, James chapter 5, verse 17 says, Elijah was as human. This is the New Living Translation. Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain will fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Elijah was as human as we are, a man of like passion as we are. So that tells us that this can actually happen to you and I. We can be in a moment of very high, you know, where we are strong and healthy and ready to take on the world. And then we can, from there, get to a low point in our lives where we are feeling hopeless, discouraged, you know, not motivated, depressed, and unfortunately, like Elijah, suicidal. So I've titled this message today, The Elijah Syndrome. The Elijah Syndrome. And what is a syndrome? A syndrome is a group of symptoms which, you know, usually occur together, or a condition that is characterized by a set of associated symptoms. You know, in other words, it's just a group of symptoms that characterize a condition. You know, I want us to take a closer look at this syndrome that Elijah had. The Bible didn't call it a syndrome, but that's my diagnosis this morning. You know, I want us to take a look at it. Some things happened to him that actually brought about this situation that he was in, that he found himself in. This situation of loss of motivation, of discouragement, of depression, and deep depression, and suicidal thoughts. So something must have led to it, right? And that's what I want to focus on this morning. I want us to look at the causes, the triggers. What can make one to go from a place of high victory, of strength, of joy, of happiness, of strong motivation, to a place where you feel deflated, you know? Like a balloon that is popped, you know, popped a little bit, so that you still think the balloon is there, but you just see it going down a little bit at a time. You know, that's what I want us to look at this morning. How did he get there? How did Elijah get here? Number one thing I want you to take note, is it looks like Elijah is experiencing a burnout right here. Elijah was stressed and tired. Stressed and tired. How did I know? I've just recounted everything that happened. All in a space of a very short time. You know, he came out boldly. He challenged those prophets. He outran Ahab. You know, it's just, you know, so zealous for the Lord that he wanted to take on everything. In fact, if you look with me at 1 Kings chapter 19, you know, today I want you to just keep your Bible open to that 1 Kings chapter 19 because we're going to keep going back and referring to some of the verses on there. So it says, I've been zealous for the Lord. I'm trying to look at that verse. The Lord appeared to him in verse 10. He says, so he said. Then he replied, the Lord, verse 10, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, turned down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. He says, I've been zealous. I've been so doing so many things. And that's what happened to us these days, you know. We think we can do everything. You know, we think we can take on anything because you listen to all these motivational speakers and say you can do everything, you can do this, you can do that. You know, we need to know the limits, our limits. I'm not saying you can't do anything, because the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You can do it, right? But not at the extent of you getting stressed and overworked and being burnt out. Elijah was tired. Elijah was stressed. But what did the Lord say to us? He says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 to 11. In fact, let's open there. Can we have that on the screen? Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 to 11. It says, six days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it you shall do no work. Somebody say, do no work. You, your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. You know, if the Lord rested, who are we not to take a break? Who are we not to rest? Who are we? You know, we are not designed to work 24/7. We are not designed to just keep going without taking a break. Some of us, vacation is not in our vocabulary. And to make matters worse, COVID-19 has just shut all our borders right now. But I'm telling you, it's not until you fly out somewhere, you know, before you can enjoy rest, before you can rejuvenate, you know, physically. You know, you can rest right there in your home. You can turn off all this electronics, turn off all this social media and sit down and just relax and just calm yourself down. Praise the Lord. We are not designed. We are not designed like that. God wants us to rest. He doesn't want us to work 7 days a week. And most importantly, he doesn't want us to make our children work 7 days a week. Design a day of rest for your children. You see it right there. It says your children, your daughters, your son. We all need to slow down, people of God. We all need to slow down. I'm telling you, all these courses that we're starting to mention, you know, they are pointers. They are pointers to, you know, to the triggers. They are pointers to prevention. So we are focusing on prevention this morning. How do we prevent this syndrome that happened to Elijah? How do we prevent it from happening to us? You prevent it, number one, by taking a break, taking a rest weekly. Take a day off. You mothers here, I know you do a lot, especially the mothers that are working as well. You go to work, you come back, you take your kids to sport, the list is uncountable. I can't even begin to recount it to you. You look after your household. As you are doing that, you are lying down, you want to rest, you are thinking of what am I cooking for dinner tonight? How do I cook my chicken in a different way? What sort of other lunches, you know? I went to the salon yesterday to wash my hair, and I was searching things on my phone, and the hairdresser said, okay, how many kids have you got? Because I was searching, I didn't even know she was looking at me. I was looking at lunch ideas for school. You know, so that is what we do. And then, you know, you work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if you're the one that work 9 to 5, and Saturday, still, you don't rest. You start doing the housework. You know, you start doing housework, cleaning from morning till evening. You know, you need to take a break. You need to rest. And the rest I'm talking about is not just physical. You need to take a spiritual, you know, mind rest. You know, I'm not saying you should take a rest from going to church. I'm not saying you should take a rest from from praying. I'm not saying you should take a rest from communion with God. You know, that's not what I mean by spiritual. What I mean is, you know, the unseen part, you know, mental. You need to take a mental rest. Don't always open the phone and scroll. Don't always scroll on Facebook and Instagram. Your mind is alert. Your mind is working. Praise the Lord. I believe God is speaking to someone this morning. Look with me to Psalm 127 and verse 2. It says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. God is the one that prospers us. It's not directly the work that we do. It's not. And for a man, the Bible says, for a man to enjoy the fruit of his labor is a gift of God. You might labor and do all those things and take up every shift that is available, you know, and people will still not see the difference in your life if the blessing of God is not on it. And you can do the bits that you can, and God can multiply and magnify that for you. Praise the Lord. Tell someone, take a rest, take a rest, take a rest, take a break. You need it. Number two, I want you to be taking note of this. These are prevention. These are the ways we prevent going into this sort of things, this syndrome that Elijah went into. Discouragement, loss of hope, you know, exhaustion, feeling of depression, feeling suicidal, you know. And I think at this stage, I want to just give you a few statistics. I just want to, you know, let you know what we're looking at. because I want to actually propel you to do something about it, to prevent it from actually happening. You know, prevention is the best medicine. My mom has been telling me since I was young. It's still ringing in my head. Don't get to that point where you need to be treated for something when you have ways that you can actually prevent it from happening. I was looking at the Beyond Blue website. It says 1 in 16 Australians is currently experiencing depression. 1 in 16. We don't want that number to go higher. Let me break it down for you. 6.2% of Australian age between 16 to 85 have experienced an affective disorder in the last 12 months. 16 to 85. Can you believe it? 16. So this is equivalent to 1.16 million people today. 1.16 million people in Australia. I'm talking about people that have been actually diagnosed. There are some that haven't yet. So you can agree with me that we need to prevent this number from rising. I don't want to be part of these statistics, and I pray that you will not be part of these statistics in the name of Jesus. 16. That's just to tell you that this syndrome we're talking about, it doesn't only apply to the old only. It applies to the young. You know, it's not respecter of person in that sense. It's not respecter of age. It's not respecter of status. We have very, very rich people, you know, with boats and everything in their backyard who have presented, you know, with suicidal thoughts and depression. I can see some of our medical people nodding their head, at what I've just said, you know. So it's no respecter of age, it's no respecter of, and that brings me back to the point I said before, that, you know, God said you and your children, they need to rest as well. If they don't want to, make them rest. You know, there's another statistic. You know, I said depression can also lead to suicidal thoughts. Those are all the symptoms that Elijah had. Look at the statistic for suicide. It says, suicide is a major public health issue that kills more than 3,000 people in Australia in a typical year. A typical year. So that is a suicidal rate of 12.1 deaths per 100,000. That is 8.3 deaths per day. 8.3 deaths, about 8 deaths per day. So 8 people are dying in Australia. We need to prevent this. We need to prevent this. Let's look at number two, because of our time. The number two thing that is a cause of this syndrome is when we choose to believe the threat and the lies of the devil. We choose to believe it. We're still in 1 Kings chapter 19. Look at that threat from Jezebel, verse 2. It says, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. So he saw that threat. You know what he did when he heard that? He started thinking in his mind. He started having, you know, stinking thinking, like Josiah would call it. Stinking thinking. Thinking that this is actually real. But think with me for a moment. How can that be real? This is somebody that has just displayed the supremacy of God. When Ahab was right there, he saw everything that happened. He knows the God that he serves. You know, so who is this? Who is this Jezebel? This notorious woman, you know? Who is this that he would just believe it like that? Some of us are allowing, you know, thoughts like that to dominate our lives. And we begin to believe it. And when you begin to believe it, if you don't control that thought, it becomes to manifest into depressing thoughts, depressing actions as well, like Elijah, like it happened to Elijah. You begin to think about what people say to you. You know, you begin to think about what people don't say to you. You begin to think about some of the lies of the devil. One of the messages Pastor preached, I think the week before, was called Lie Detector. The Lie Detector. How, you know, somebody ruined their destiny. A prophet ruined his destiny and died just because he believed a lie. If you haven't listened to that message, you can go back and listen to it as well. We begin to believe a lie. And if we are not careful, what happened to that prophet can happen to us. Ultimately, we can lose our purpose in life. We can lose that vision that God has given us. That vision for you to be a parent, a good parent to your children. You know, if you begin to believe the lie of the devil about your children, that child cannot change. She can never change. She will continue to be like that. God has the power to change people, not you. So that is what you need to believe in. That is what you need to think about. When you begin to believe that you are not good enough, when you begin to believe that I'm not strong enough, when you begin to believe that I'm not even needed, my family will be better off without me. The devil begins to put all those things in your mind, and you begin to look down on yourself, and you begin to believe it. They are threats. They are lies, people of God. And what I want you to do with that kind of lie when it comes, I can assure you the lies will come. The lies will come. How do I know? Because, you know, we live in a real world. Because we watch things on TV. Because we compare, we see what people put up on Facebook. And we begin to compare ourselves. The Bible says those that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. You begin to compare yourself. You see someone put their, you know, refined, you know, touch-up photo on Facebook. And you think everything is all good about them. You know, you see a couple, they put their photo there and they say relationship goals. And they've just finished fighting. And and then you begin to look at your husband or your wife. I'm like, oh, if only she was like that. You know? You begin to compare. All these things happen in your mind. You know? You begin to complain like Elijah did. Look at verse 4. He says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. That's a comparison. He began to compare himself, you know. And he says in verse 10 that we read before, the later part of verse 10, I alone am left and they seek to take my life. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You know, he's kind of believed that lie that the devil is telling him, that he alone is left. You know, how do I know that is a lie? I want you to see 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. It says, for so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and eaten them. 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water. There were 100 other prophets. He was not the only one. And to make matters worse, he knows about it. Look at verse 13 of 1 Kings chapter 18. It says, was it not reported to my Lord? This is when Ahab said, this was when he said there will be no rain. And Ahab was looking for him. So Ahab sent Obadiah to go and call him when they said they saw him somewhere. Right? And Obadiah didn't want to go. So when Obadiah saw him, he says, please, I know if I go and tell Ahab now, before I get back, you will have disappeared. You know, because I know you are powerful. Please, just stay here. Let me tell Ahab. Because I've been a good person. He told him, look at verse 13. He says, was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophet of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophet, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? Obadiah actually told him before this episode happened. But he chose to believe a lie. Please, people of God, let's choose not to believe the lie of the devil. Let's believe the word of God. Let's believe the word of God. The word of God that says you are loved. The word of God that says you are strong. The word of God that says you are more than enough. You know, and how do we do this? Look with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, casting down arguments and every... This is where it was talking about the weapon of our warfare and not carnal. That's the verse preceding that. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You need to cast down those thoughts as they come. You need to bring it down as they come. You need to put up a guard against it. You know, what I do sometimes, I must tell you, I've experienced some of those feelings that I've talked about before. And that's why I can tell you that prevention is better than cure. So what I do is what with some of the things we just did this morning. Sometimes I'm driving to work, something comes to me like that, I start singing. In fact, it's in my drive to work sometimes, or when I'm alone in the house with all this working from home, that I just put on some music and I begin to practice my vocal cords, you know, my parts, you know, you know, and I begin to meditate on the words of those songs. You can sing to yourself. You can say it. When those thoughts come, I'm not enough. Say it out loud. You know, sometimes I say things out loud and they say, what are you saying? I'm just telling myself the truth. I'm getting rid of what the enemy is trying to put in my mind. Praise the Lord. Don't entertain any depressing thoughts. Because when you entertain it, you know, it becomes depressing actions if you are not careful. Don't believe a lie. Don't believe a lie. Don't complain. Don't compare. Don't entertain it. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things or think on those things. You know, that is what, after you have, you know, you pushed that thought out, in fact, you don't even need to wait till the bad thought, you know, comes. You keep feeding yourself the truth of God's word. You know, if you want to read this in the opposite way, it says, don't think about whatever is not true, right? If you want to read it, you know, backwards, don't think about what is not true. Don't think about what is not just. Don't think about what is not pure. Don't think about what is not of good report. Don't think about what is not lovely. Don't think about anything that is not praiseworthy, you know, but think on the opposite. Think on the good stuff. Praise the Lord. I need to keep going. Number one, stress and tiredness. Don't let that creep on you. Don't ever believe the threats and the lies of the devil. Don't give room to it in your mind. Don't ever. The Bible says, I think in Isaiah, it says, who has believed our report? Whose report will you believe? Whose report? I remember that song that we sing when we were growing up. Whose report will you believe? Who knows that song? Ron Kinole, I think. We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report say, I am healed. His report say, I am healed. His report say, I am free. His report say, victory. You know, hallelujah. Number three thing that we need to watch out for that happened to Elijah. Fear. That verse 4 again, of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. It says he was afraid and he ran for his life. And he became anxious. He says he went on a day's journey. He ran for his life and went to Beersheba. He went to a desert place. Fear and anxiety. What do we fear? You know, it's interesting that when I was reading some of the symptoms of depression, one of the things that is listed as symptoms of depression is guilt feeling. I'm like, okay. So you begin to feel guilty. It's part of it. It's part of this syndrome we're talking about. And what do we usually fear? We can fear the threats and the lies, you know, that I just talked about. But we can also fear and be anxious about you know, the past, and be guilty. We can feel guilty about the past, you know, thinking that someday your past will catch up with you, you know. But let me show you a scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it tells you and I directly, you know, that this can actually cause depression. What does it say? Proverbs 12, 25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes what? I don't know what other explanation we need more than that. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. It causes depression. When you feel anxious, what will I wear? What will I eat? What will happen? You know, what have I done? You know? So you can feel guilty of your past mistakes. You can feel, you know, anxious about what's going to happen right now? How am I going to pay my mortgage? What if I lose my job? You know, you start to think about the future. You know, will my children turn out well? Will they, you know, I've led them in the way of the Lord. Will they serve God when they're on their own? You know, are things going to get better? Am I going to get healed? Is this going to continue to happen? You know, and you begin to entertain those thoughts and you begin to be, you know, to lose hope and be depressed. That is what happened to Elijah here. Praise the Lord. But what did the Lord tell us? He says that he is forgiving us of the mistakes of the past. He says, your sins I will remember no more. He is blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Once you've repented and confessed that sin, you need to work on forgetting about it. You know, there's some consequences that happen, you know, with some sin, you know, but you're not being punished anymore. You're not being punished anymore. For example, maybe, you know, somebody has had, you know, illicit sexual thing and a child develops after that. That is a consequence, you know. If they repent, God has forgiven them, but the child is still there, right? But that child shouldn't be something that will be causing them sorrow. If they actually have received that forgiveness from God, they should receive that child as a gift from God. Praise the Lord. That is the difference. I just use that as an example, you know. And we begin to think about the present in Isaiah chapter. I think we should look at that. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. You, nor shall the flames scorch you. It says, I will be with you. Whether you go through the highs and the lows of life, this is God promising. Don't worry about the present. And we all know that verse, Jeremiah 29:11. It says, the thought that I think towards you are of good and of, they're not of evil, but of good, to give you a hope and a future. Is God the past covered? Is God the present taken care of? Is also God the future taken care of? How awesome is our God? So why should we be now magnifying our problems more than magnifying our God, who has promised us all these things? Praise the Lord. Don't let fear get you down. Don't let anxious thoughts overcome you. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6 says. But by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. Praise the Lord. It says in 2 Timothy, I think, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is what God has given you. You know what? One of the major fear that Elijah had is the fear of death, right? Jezebel threatened that if I don't have your life, like this, the life of this prophet, by tomorrow, then I'm not Jezebel. So he ran for his life. Do you know that Elijah did not taste death? Our fears, you know, don't come to pass. We just fear. We're just anxious for nothing. We're just anxious for nothing. When we begin to entertain this fear, you know, how do I know? I think 2 Kings, I'm just going to give you a little sneak peek. We are not there yet, but 2 Kings chapter 2:11, I'll read that quickly. You don't have to open there. You can check it out. It says, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. He never tasted physical death. God just took him up. So why was he running in the first place? He was anxious for nothing. Let's keep going. Number 4, unmet expectations is another one. Unmet expectations. So, you know, it's not clearly stated here, but we can deduce it from the way Elijah was talking in that 1 Kings chapter 19, that I've been zealous for you, only me is left, I've done this and done that, and you have not looked after me, and things have not worked right. I'm sure Elijah was thinking, after he has, you know, come out boldly and declare that God is God and showed, you know, God consumed everything with fire, he will have expected a nationwide revival. He will have expected the hair to be changed instantly, you know. It must have been a big surprise for him, for someone to be threatening his life. You know, he should have, all their hearts should have been changed by now. They should have been all good and transformed by now. But his expectation was not met. And he became depressed. And that's what happened to us sometimes. You know, you kind of feel like you've disappointed yourself when you make that mistake. You are disappointed in other people. You've been believing God for something for so long and you lose hope. Like, what does it even matter? Or you got the direct opposite. Or you've been believing God for healing and it's not coming, you know? You become, so those are unmet expectations. You are expecting something to happen that eventually didn't materialize or materialized in a different way that you don't really like. So Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. That is another one there for you. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When things don't happen the way we want it to, your heart can be sick. You know, you've been believing God for that job. You've been believing God not to lose that job. You've been believing God to heal that child, to change that child, but it's not happened yet. I want to encourage someone here this morning. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You just need to keep persevering. You know, like that widow that kept coming to the king. You know, she kept coming and asking. And eventually the judge, that unjust judge, avenged her of her enemies. And one thing that happened when we persevere is you begin to change. Your perspective begins to change if you hang in there. That was what happened to Jesus when he was going to the cross. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And he started saying, God, he knows it's the will of God that he dies on the cross. But he knows that it's going to be painful. It's not going to be easy. And he started praying, Lord, take this away from me. Do it another way. I know you want to do it, but do it another way. You know, don't let me go through this pain. And the Bible says he came out, he looked at the disciples, talked to them, and went back again and said the same words. And he came out again, and the third time, he went back and said the same words. But by the time he came out the third time, he was ready for anything that was coming his way. That is what, you know, staying in the place of prayer, keeping on hoping, keep believing, that is what it does to us. It changes your perspective. It aligns you with God's will for your life. Praise the Lord. And one thing that happens when we begin to dwell on, you know, and focus on our expectation is we begin to lose our joy. I want to tell you, people of God, joy is not external. So it doesn't depend on whether things happen or don't happen. That is happiness. You are confusing it. You get happy, you get sad. Joy is from the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So as a prevention, I want you to protect your joy. Don't hang it on as your expectation. Don't hang it on what you desire. This is the way I want it and no other way. God can answer in a different way. God can say no because he knows the big picture. God can say not yet because he has the big picture. God can say, okay, not that way, this way. Because he knows what is best for you and I. He knows some bad things happen, you know, but he knows nothing happens without God's knowledge. God doesn't bring evil upon us, but he's not unaware of it. And he says he will not bring to you much more that you can bear. Are you willing to trust him and hang on to those words this morning? Praise the Lord. Last one quickly is isolation. Isolation. We are not designed to live our lives alone. And that's one of the things this pandemic has really, made, you know, this issue of depression and suicide to increase because we've been isolated. They call it social distancing, you know, but, you know, it's more like physical distancing. We are social beings. God designed us to live our lives together. And that's why God designed the church. Because he wants people who believe in him to live together and do life together in a community. Church is a community of believers. Community of people who believe in God. Look at what Elijah did. He went in verse 3. He ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which is a deserted place, which belongs to Judah, and left who? He left his servant there. As if it was not desert enough, he left his servant there and even went more into the wilderness. In verse 4, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. He went when you're in isolation, all these things begin to happen. You begin to have stinking thinking and you begin to believe those the lies of the enemy. You know, you dwell on the fact that you have been stressed and you kind of start pitying yourself. You know, find a person of faith that you want to link your faith to. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. We're going to project it in the New King James, but I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation because I love the way he puts it. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Praise the Lord. Two can stand back to back. Three is even better. You know, so I'm just encouraging you this morning. You are not in a team, you know, here in church. Join a team and serve together. Join a team, and even if you have joined a team, be fully involved in that team. Minister to one another in that team. Be genuinely interested in one another. Praise the Lord. Don't miss church. When we come together like this, we get a word of encouragement. We get our spirit renewed and rejuvenated. You know, I know you agree with me that every time you come here, you know, you see other people of like passion. You want to go back and face the world. You get a fresh passion, you know, to go back and do life. Praise the Lord. And if you're someone who you feel, I'm introvert, you know, I am, you know, you don't need a group of people. You don't need a lot of people that to connect to. You know, of course, we come to church, we sing together, you know, but you still need to connect to someone on a deeper level, someone you can talk to freely, someone you can say, pray for me, pray with me, you know, someone who knows you, someone you can be, you know, you can be free with. Praise the Lord. I want you all to find that someone in your life this morning as we leave this place. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembling of one another. But as we see the day as approaching, we should keep encouraging one another. That is what that's what prevents this sort of disorder, this sort of syndrome happening. You don't want to be alone. Even if there's a lockdown, God forbid we experience that again here in Australia. Even if there's a lockdown, there's so many things that we did during the lockdown. You know, we connected with the women over Zoom. We, you know, I kept calling someone, you know, in this church, like, every week, I call someone. How are you doing? Are you good? Just to hear somebody else's voice. Just to hear that word of encouragement. Keep in touch. Don't just, you know, people call you, you look at the number, you close it, you know, because you just don't feel like it. Don't entertain that. Resist the urge to do that. They call you to come out and let's go and have lunch together. Let's go and have dinner together. I don't feel like going, you know. It's an opportunity to just, you know, come out of that place where you are stressed and thinking, you know, in a bad way. And it's an opportunity to get out of that space. Praise the Lord. As I conclude this morning, we can have some music. I just want to read a verse to you, Matthew chapter 11, and then we're going to pray. I want you to think about, you know, these five things that I've talked about this morning. Believing the threats and lies of the devil, stress and tiredness. And I want you to begin to look at your own life. You know, where do you need to, you know, buckle up? Where do you need to make a change? You know, we talk about that stress and tiredness. This is talking about actually, you know, physical fitness. I'm glad that Pastor mentioned fasting, that you actually, one of the benefits is, you know, physical as well. You know, I want you to purpose in your heart to make some lifestyle changes this morning. You know, this is not a message that you just go and do and that's it. It's something you need to continue doing. It's a lifestyle change. Change your perspective. Change the way you're thinking. You know, don't entertain all this negative thought. Take a break. Take a rest as a pattern. okay? Not just you do it today, this week, you don't do it next week, right? Don't focus on expectation, you know? Let be open to what God can do in your life. And don't entertain fear. Don't entertain anxious thoughts. Don't entertain it. Before it comes, kill it in your mind. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It says you will find rest in me.